Hey everybody, this is Bob Z, the pastor of Joy Christian Fellowship. I want to thank you for tuning into our podcast. I hope it's a word that will encourage you today. Let's remember in these challenging times we're living that God is still in control and that his love for us endures forever. Amen. God bless. So far, we've already covered love. That was the foundation. We got to build on love, otherwise we're just wasting our time. We covered joy, peace, and patience. So let's look at kindness and goodness. And let's look at a passage that mentions both. Psalm 145, verse 8 and 9, says, "The Lord is kind and merciful, slow to get angry, full of unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation." So the Lord is kind and the Lord is good to whom? Everyone. All of us. His kindness, his goodness, that's spiritual fruit that's always in season, right? This isn't on the screen, but the Apostle Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He puts, "As God's partners, we beg you," he's pleading with these people, he's pleading with us, "as God's partners, we beg you not to reject this marvelous message of God's great kindness." The gospel message is a message of incredible kindness. His kindness should motivate us. It should empower us to be kind to others. I mean, goodness and kindness is all through the Bible. Jesus taught kindness in the parable of the Good Samaritan, right? I mean, the Jews hated the Samaritans. They called them half-breeds because they weren't 100% Jewish. They intermarried, so they hated the Samaritans. But in this parable, the Samaritan was the only one to show kindness. And Jesus was having this sort of debate, conversation with a Jewish teacher of the law, Jewish lawyer, we'll call him. And finally he asked Jesus, "Well, who is my neighbor?" So Jesus tells him, "Well, there was this man, he was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he got mugged by some robbers, some bandits, some thieves. They beat him up, they took his clothes, they took his money, left him for dead. And a Jewish priest, one of the holy guys, he comes along but crossed the road and passed by this guy." Can you feel the love? Neither can I. A temple assistant or a Levite, he walks over to the guy, looks at him, and then he walks away too. Man, it's harsh. That's just so cold. Finally, a despised Samaritan, and this is Jesus talking. A despised Samaritan, because he knew the Jews hated the Samaritans. Jesus didn't, but he's describing how they felt about this guy. He stops, and he helps the guy. He bandages up his wounds. He puts the guy on his donkey. He takes him into town, takes him to an inn, gives the innkeeper some money, and says, "Give this guy a room. Give this guy some food. Here's some money. Take care of him. If this is not enough money, when I come back through, I'll give you more money, but take care of this guy. He needs to rest and get his strength back." And then Jesus asks, "Which one of these three men would you say was a neighbor to that poor guy?" And the Jewish lawyer said, "Well, the one who showed him mercy." Now, I guess we could say the one who showed him kindness and goodness. Because if you're showing mercy to someone, you're being kind and good to them, right? And Jesus says, "Yep, you're right. Now go and do the same." And he's telling us, go and do the same. Show mercy, show kindness, show goodness. You know, there isn't one part of our lives that the Lord doesn't touch or influence. He's working on our hands so we help others. Lewis is a great example of somebody to help. He'll help whoever he can, whenever he can. Chris is another one. I know there's certain people you can depend on. If they're available, they'll help you. So he's working on our hands so we can help others. The Lord works on our mouths so that we speak encouraging words to others. But most importantly, he's always working on our hearts. So that kindness and that goodness we show others is genuine, not fake, not put on. He never stops working on our hearts because he wants us to be kind like he is, to be more like him. You know, it's easy to be kind to people who are kind to us, right? It's easy for me to be kind to you if you're going to be kind to me. But how do we respond when people are unkind or when people just are downright mean and even wicked? Well, Jesus tells us how to respond. It's in Luke's Gospel in chapter 6 and in verse 35. Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to them. Yeah, like that's easy. I mean, let's face it, it's just not natural for us to love our enemies. It just doesn't come natural to do good to them. We want to avoid them and keep our distance from them, have nothing to do with them. That's why it has to be supernatural. Right? We can't do it in our own strength. It has to be Holy Spirit working in us and then through us for us to love our enemies and do good to them. But Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them. Lend to our enemies? It gets better. Lend to them and don't be concerned that they might not repay. Well, they better repay. It's not what Jesus says. Whatever we give to others should be a gift, not some kind of loan with interest or something. And when we do that, Jesus says, then your reward from heaven will be very great. That sounds good, doesn't it? Then your reward from heaven will be very great. And you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. For he is what? He's kind. He's kind to the unthankful and to those who are wicked. Do you hear that? The Lord is kind to the unthankful and to those who are wicked. How do we know that? Well, the Bible tells us. See, don't ever take my word for this stuff. Look this stuff up for yourself. Know this word for yourself. I mean, I wouldn't intentionally misquote Scripture. I wouldn't intentionally mislead you, but how would you know unless you know the word for yourself? You know, get into the word so the word gets into you. All right, the Bible tells us that the Lord is kind to the unthankful. Do you remember the story about Jesus healing the 10 lepers? It's in Luke 17. He heals 10 guys that had leprosy, a dreaded, awful, painful disease. Only one comes back to thank him. And he sees the guy. He said, wait a minute, weren't there 10 of you guys? Didn't I heal 10 of you guys? Where's the other 9? Well, they must have been the unthankful ones. And the one that came back, he was one of them despised Samaritans. One was thankful, 9 were unthankful. But Jesus was kind to all 10, even the unthankful ones. And when Jesus was in unimaginable agony, hanging on that blood-soaked cross for the forgiveness of all of our sins, Jesus was kind to the wicked ones who mocked him and spit on him and kicked him and punched him and tortured him and nailed him to that cross to suffer and die. The only innocent one dying for all us guilty ones. And Jesus, hanging there in agony, said, Father, forgive them. Are you kidding me? Forgive them? For what they just did to you, Jesus? Forgive them? And that's what he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Wow. How's that for being kind to the wicked? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Sometimes I wonder if Jesus looks down at us and says, Father, forgive those people at Joy Christian Fellowship because they don't know what they're doing either. You know? But that would be his kindness, right? His kindness towards us. Another act of kindness from Jesus while he was in agony on the cross was how he responded to one of the thieves on the cross next to him. Now, Jesus is hanging between two thieves. Both of these guys were suffering the same gruesome execution, and both were in the presence of Christ. But the reactions to their situation are quite different. The one guy is just griping at Jesus. Say, hey, aren't you supposed to be the Messiah? Well, then get us down from here. Save yourself and save us too. Come on, man, do something if you're supposed to be this Messiah. This guy's asking, well, he's pretty much demanding to come down from his cross. But the other thief, he doesn't ask Jesus to be taken down from his cross, if you notice. First, he rebukes his fellow thief, saying, hey, shut up. What's wrong with you? Don't you fear God? We're getting what we deserve. But this man, this This Jesus, he hadn't done anything wrong. Shut up. And then he turns to Jesus. And in one of the most surprising and beautiful moments in all the Gospels, he doesn't ask Jesus to take him down from his painful death that's coming. Instead, he asks Jesus to be taken up with him. I just think that's such a beautiful thing. And he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And in incredible kindness to this thief, Jesus assures him, I say to you today, today, you will be with me in paradise. I mean, think of what a day this was for that thief. He saw this day coming. Whatever he did, he knew his day was coming. And crucifixion was the most painful way of putting someone to death. And this was that day. And he's hanging on that cross. And he's got moments before he dies, right? He said, boy, I've wasted my life. What an awful way to end up. So it starts with him condemned to die, and his day ends with being in paradise with Jesus. What a day. Now, we all know about Jesus in the tomb. We all know the resurrection on the morning of the third day and the time the resurrected Jesus spent on earth before his ascension to heaven. But the Bible also says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Jesus didn't tell this thief, in 50 days you'll be with me in paradise. He said, today. Today you'll be with me in paradise. That's Jesus' words, not mine, okay? Now, let's keep in mind, goodness and kindness, they're not just a bunch of nice gestures that we do every once in a while. Goodness and kindness need to be a lifestyle. When you think about it, it doesn't require a whole lot to be kind to someone, but it could change everything, right? It could change our home life. It could change our work life. It could change our church life. It could change our school life, whatever. So would you consider yourself a kind person? Some of you know who Graham Cook is. I listen to Graham Cook sometimes, and oftentimes he'll say, the Lord is the kindest person we'll ever meet. The Lord is the kindest person we'll ever meet. I agree with him. But what about us? What about us here this morning? Are we kind people? I guess we should ask that question to the people who know us the best, right? Would the people who know us the best say that we're kind? Do we treat others with kindness? Do we treat others with kindness even if they're not kind to us? That's the challenging part, right? I heard this guy was from Chattanooga, and he was trying to be, he was a new Christian, trying to be more like Jesus and trying to be kinder to people. And there was a guy at work that he just had a hard time getting along with. And he gets into an argument with this guy, and it gets really heated. And the guy just hauls off and punches him. But the guy didn't punch him back. It's like he remembered the verse about turning the other cheek, right? And as mad as he was, this guy hit him. He remembered it's when Jesus was giving the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:39, Jesus taught, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other one too. That's either being really, really kind or being dumb. I'm not sure which, but because it's Jesus speaking, he doesn't say dumb things. But this guy remembered that verse. And he said, so I didn't hit him back. I turned my other cheek to him. And someone asked the guy, well, then what happened? He said, well, he hit me again. So then I decked him. You know, it was just like, I turned the other cheek. He hit me again. So he's still kind of in that, he's still working on me phase of trying to be more like Jesus, I guess. But it's hard. Let's face it. It's hard to be kind to people who are mean or unthankful or wicked. Even if we turn the other cheek. But yet Jesus was kind to mean people. He was kind to unthankful people. He was kind to wicked people. And we need more of Jesus to do that, right? We need to abide in him more. Like we're the branch and he's the vine. And we're not going to bear this good fruit of kindness and goodness unless we abide in him, unless we dwell in him and bear that fruit that lasts. Fruit like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. All right. Look what the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, this is for every one of us too. He says, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? He's saying, come on, doesn't this mean anything to you? How wonderfully kind and tolerant he's being and patient? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? Some translations will say it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. See, if our hearts are sensitive at all, the Lord's kindness to us should lead us to repentance. His kindness should turn us from our sin. Because in his kindness, he's given us all more time to get it right. I mean, I'm still trying to get it right more times than I get it wrong. So it's in his kindness that he's being patient and giving us more time. If you remember last Sunday, that message was on patience. And one of the verses said, God is being patient with us, not wanting any to perish. None of us. But for all to come to repentance. That's his heart. For all of us to come to repentance. For none to perish. In his patience and in his kindness and his goodness, he's given everyone more time to turn to him instead of to the world. And you know, instead of being amazed at God's patience with other people, we should be humbled at his patience with us, huh? Yeah. It's easy to point to someone and say, man, I can't believe how much patience God has shown that person, when it should be pointing inward and say, man, it's humbling for me to think how patient he is with me. All right. Got one more verse, and then we're going to pray. Come back next week. We're finally going to have live worship again. There's going to be real people on the stage playing real instruments. At least that's the plan. I hope it works out. I'm looking forward to it. All right, here's our instructions from here on. And let's not forget this before we leave the parking lot, okay? Let's remember, kindness and goodness are character traits that are a lifestyle, not just a bunch of nice gestures. In Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 32, Paul writes, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, don't miss that part, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Let that sink in. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave every one of us. Amen? Amen. Let it be so. Let's pray. Stand with me if you're able. And we're going to have a closing prayer. And then if you want prayer for something, by all means, you can pray where you are. If the Lord maybe nudges you to pray for somebody here, just go to that person and say, hey, I feel like I'm supposed to say a prayer for you. I feel like maybe the Lord, you know, in worship, sometimes Bobby will tap someone and say, hey, I believe the Lord shared something for you. Don't ignore that nudging of the Holy Spirit, okay? Here we go. Father, thanks again. Thank you for your word that is true. Thank you that this Fruit of the Spirit series is reminding all of us. We've probably heard them all before, but it's reminding us. These are building blocks. These are all character traits of who you are. And in a way, it's molding and shaping us to be more like you instead of more like this world that wants to eat us up and spit us out and kick us to the curb. So, Lord, I just pray that your kindness and your goodness will influence us to be kind, will influence us to be good, and that we'll be grateful and thankful. You were kind even to the wicked. You were kind even to the ungrateful. You were kind even to the mean. I can't say that I am, but I'm asking, help us all be more like that. Increase kindness as that fruit. Let it be lasting fruit, fruit that lasts. That's supernatural. We need you to give us an increase of kindness, give us an increase of goodness. So when the world sees us, they see you, not us. I pray blessings over our family here today, our tribe of joy, Lord. Use us in a way to further the good news. We're your ambassadors. Let us go out there and represent you well. And bring us back together. Bless the rest of our day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.